KLYT. This is ABQ Connect.
Pastor Tom Keller joins us from Calvary Chapel, Lebanon in Pennsylvania. Tom, thanks for taking the time to get to know our KLYT listeners and for them to get to know you a little bit.
It's a pleasure being here. Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
Now, what many of our listeners do not know yet, Tom is the teaching pastor on a radio program that starts on KLYT. It'll be a daily at 8:30 study the word. And we'll also be able to hear the weekend edition of Study the Word. That's Saturday afternoons at 5 o'clock. But before we jump into a whole lot about Study the Word, Tom, let's back up a little bit and go. Actually, you know, you can go back as far as you want. It all started.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know that from looking at a biography of yours, a short biography, where you came from the business world before ministry. You know, maybe a little bit about your testimony and how the Lord brought you from where you were to where you are.
Okay, sure. Yeah, so I was born into a family that's I was third generation car dealer, Ford dealer. And my grandfather started the business in 1921. And so when I got out of college, I went into the business and I was kind of a hard charger and an A-type and hit it hard. Around the age of 30, my father had a heart attack and put me in charge of all the dealerships. And I built it up pretty quick, and which isn't really that hard to do. But and then we hit a financial downturn, and the interest rates were 20%, and people stopped buying, and our carrying costs went through the roof. And I went into a depression because I knew I was going to lose the business. My father, because of his heart attack, wasn't really reading financials anymore, nor were my uncles. And I was the only one looking at these, and I know we're going to go under. Because in the car business, you can go through a lot of cash fast. And I became depressed and suicidal. People have told me already they don't know how someone could ever want to kill themselves. Well, no one wants to kill themselves. You just don't want to be anymore. And I didn't want to be anymore. And I went into a crisis. And one night in the midst of that, I was praying and crying. And I said to God, God, what do you want? What do you want? And I heard him say in an audible voice, I never heard another one since then, but I think some blockheaded people need extra measures. And he said, trust me. And I said, I can't. He said, trust me. I said, you don't understand business. He said, trust me. I said, you don't understand advertising. Because I know what he wants here. He wants to get involved in the business. And that's not going to work the way I ran a business. And, you know, you process thought so quickly. And I thought, Tom, you've been doing everything the way you've wanted to do it for 30 years. And you're suicidal. That's point one. Point two, you don't have a different plan for tomorrow than the plan you've been following. And point three, this is obviously God reaching out to you and you're saying no. Well, I am stubborn, but the conclusion of that was clear. And I said, okay, God, I'm in. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. And I'm telling you, I woke up the next day a different person. I saw colors I hadn't remembered seeing for years. Mm. I just remembered shades of gray and black and looking at the horizon, driving fast. And now I saw colors in the sky, and it was remarkable. But then that started a quest. I thought for sure God was going to call me into probably being a missionary because I had such a cushy life. I thought God's going to want me to drink out of a mud puddle in Nigeria and swatting away 1 foot big mosquitoes. And so I waited for that phone call from some missions agency, which never came. But sometime later, I had an opportunity to share Christ with one of our managers, and he prayed to receive Jesus. And I remember walking home that night. I was walking on a foot of air, and I thought, this is a whole new revelation. God, you can use me where I am. I don't have to go into some foreign country. And I never even considered that that could be where God would keep me.
I love that.
Yeah, and from that, then my wife and I were just given a real burden for the lost, and we realized that our church, which was in a very country setting and very conventional.
Now, where was that? Church. Where was that at that time?
Well, that was outside of Lebanon, Pennsylvania. So okay. I live now about half a mile from where I was born. So I never got too far, which has helped knowing the community. But the church, everyone in our church, the men wore suits, the women wore dresses. The people we were witnessing to didn't have suits. They didn't have dresses. So we talked to the church about the possibility of starting an inner city church near the city where that church was located, which is Lebanon, Pennsylvania. And they called us to plant a church, and we did that. And as a result, today we have Calvary Chapel in Lebanon, Pennsylvania, and still have great support from that sending church. It was not a Calvary Chapel, we were a Calvary Chapel in fact, because of our commitment to teaching the Bible chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and contemporary worship and high grace, and trying not to let anything get in the way of an unbeliever discovering the beauty of Jesus.
So now you've, by this time, completely left the car business behind?
No, that's a great question. In 2009, I sold the dealership. We planted the church in 2001. So for 8 years, I did both. And God just orchestrated the timing of that just perfectly. And in 2009, I sold out to my brother, and who's doing a wonderful job with the dealerships, by the way, and then went full time with the church. And what's nice is, because of that, I've been able to work without being paid by the church for those 24 years, which has been a real joy to me. Just it's just been a joy.
So you've seen the growth of the church in Lebanon, and although you have a radio program, you also happen to be a radio operator. How did that happen?
Boy, that's a great story. I heard a man say one time, he said, undertake something so great for God that if God's not in it, it's destined to fail. And we can all undertake things that we could imagine how they could happen, but he encouraged taking on something bigger than you think could happen. And I thought it'd be great to have radio teaching on the airwaves in Lebanon County. And so I know nothing about radio. I still know very little relative to, you know, what I should know, but I started calling radio stations, and everyone said, no, 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 no. And I said, if you're ever interested, call me back. Well, I was kind of glad they said no, because I didn't know what that would cost me if they said yes. But maybe a year or so later, a low power FM station owner called me and said, hey, my wife and I have decided we'd like to sell the station, and are you interested? I didn't know what that would mean. Well, low power FM stations, you can't sell them for any blue sky, any value other than the depreciated assets. So it was only a couple $1,000, maybe a little bit more than that.
And for those unfamiliar, I mean, a low power FM is essentially what you'll find on, you know, dozens or hundreds of college campuses all across the country. It's just essentially like a 5 or 10 watt FM often, or maybe a little more, but just enough to cover a small area.
Yeah, that's right. And it covers the city of Lebanon. But then since then, we've gotten some translators, and two full power FM stations. A station in Salem, Oregon was given to us about a year ago. And so now we cover about a 4-county area in South Central Pennsylvania, and then also in Salem, Oregon. And so we are primarily teaching only 24 hours a day, 26 minute programs every half hour, 24/7.
Yeah, and for those KLYT listeners, essentially you're a KLYT where you are. It's a teaching programs back to back throughout the week. Now we play some worship music on the weekends, but primarily it's a Bible teaching radio station like what you're doing in Pennsylvania. And actually, look, by looking at your website, looks like the growth continues.
You mean in the church or the radio station?
On the radio, there's God willing, more to come.
There's more to come. Yeah, we just turned on the two full power non-commercial stations, and we put billboards all around those counties. And so we're looking forward to getting good reports back from those counties as well. Yeah.
Well, very good. Well, let's talk a little bit about the radio program, Study the Word. And I'm sure it's probably not far from, you know, what you hope with the ministry at Calvary Chapel, Lebanon, that the study of God's word is primary, as the gospel is. We both know, as in 1 Corinthians, Paul reminds us, I delivered to you as of first importance that which I also received, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that continues at Calvary Chapel, Lebanon, as well as on the radio. Tell us a little bit about your heart for sharing the gospel.
Yeah, well, we're an inner city church, and we have a broad mix of people. I mean, we've got everybody there. It's different, all the socioeconomic groups. And it's really beautiful to see the blending of those people, because, you know, most of us are able to kind of, we don't intend to do this, but we end up kind of sectioning ourselves off with people that are a lot like us because of our job settings and those kinds of things. And so it's really neat. We have a women's shelter with a one-year program. We can house about 16 women. And so it's really wonderful to see these women, their lives get changed. But even more beautiful is to see, or as beautiful, is to see women in the Church of Substance who have had very advantaged backgrounds plug into the lives of these women and discover the compassion they have, the heart they have for these women who have are very different than what they would have expected. We also have a U-turn facility where we have a Christ-centered recovery program for men and women. We have a separate farm where the women are housed, where that program takes place. And the same thing, we people plugging into the lives of that profile of people and discovering that they're an amazing group of people who've just made some bad choices that there, but by the grace of God, go I. We have a large food pantry, about 20,000 square feet. We get in about 20 to 30 skids of material a week, and we distribute food to 50 different organizations. A lot of churches that have their own food pantry. You've heard of planning churches. We encourage planning food pantries.
Yeah.
And so that has been really a blessing to us. And I really sense that one of the reasons we've been so blessed in so many ways financially, we've never borrowed money, is because God really honors taking care of the poor. And when you get involved in that, he just pulls all the stops out to make sure that doesn't stop.
Well, it sounds a lot like what we've heard so many times from our pastor, Skip Heitzig, talking about Chuck Smith. And as ministry grows, or people are called into ministry, where God guides, God always seems to provide.
He sure does. He's sure. That is so true. Yeah. So, the food pantry has been just a blessing to the community. Every Sunday we hand out things, food bags at the end of the service. And we also have a large team of people that work and bring the items together. For instance, I think about a month ago, we got $100,000 worth of Starbucks coffee. I think it was 9 or 10 skids of coffee from Starbucks. We just got, we were offered 42 skids of Hershey's chocolate. We couldn't take them all. So we, another organization took half of them. And now we have 21 skids of Hershey chocolate kisses that we're working at getting rid of. And we give a lot of items to the prison. And so they normally have to buy their coffee in the prison. And so they had free Starbucks coffee, which was a hit in the prison. Plus, we give them ice cream when we get ice cream, and they never get ice cream. So it's just been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I tell you, just from the outside and hearing about the ministry, it sure sounds to me like Matthew 25 has certainly hit home with the ministry in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. I have to be almost confident based on what I'm hearing about, you know, visiting those who are in prison and yeah. caring for the homeless, that the widows and orphans are seeing their share of being ministered to as well. And we greatly appreciate all that you're doing there and look forward to seeing what God does with Study the Word, the teaching ministry that you started on the radio as it launches on KLYT weeknights at 8:30 and Saturday afternoons at 5 o'clock, the weekend edition. What are your hopes for Study the Word, not only in the areas where you're broadcasting in Pennsylvania and in Oregon, but other places? I'm sure that it's on the air and now in Albuquerque. What are your hopes for that ministry?
Yeah, boy. So, you know, I believe the Bible is, as Bible believers do, that it is the answer. It gives the answers to all of life's problems and issues. And I believe it offers practical solutions to issues we face in daily life. So I try to make, at the end of every teaching, a practical application, because it's biblical principles that change lives. But until we hear those principles, they're not going to really transform our lives until we understand them. So that's really what my heart is to make the Bible practical to people where they are today, and help provide principles that will transform the way, because it's the Bible changes lives. I've often said every Sunday morning, every pastor, every Sunday school teacher should hold their Bible up and shake it and say to the people, "This book changed my life. It'll change yours," because that's true. And then secondarily is through the falling in love with the Word and trusting the Word in that way, make people self-feeders, that they then become disciplined to spend their own devotional time. Because no one became a spiritual giant by listening to one message on a Sunday morning. It's when we feed ourselves that the real growth takes place.
Yeah, you know, speaking as someone who oversees a lot, but including a radio ministry, you know, we often encourage our announcers on KLYT to remind the listener to reach out to the various ministries that air on KLYT. And there's, you know, all kinds of different ways you can do that. Almost every ministry is funded by the listeners primarily. And I know you mentioned that you were able to do a lot of ministry because of the sale of a Ford dealership. However, I guess what I want to get from you is, how important is it for you to hear from listeners, and not only financially, because I know almost every teaching ministry has a place where people can come alongside financially. And if they're led to do that, we encourage them to do that and support the work that's being spread. But also, even just to get an email that says, "Hey, I'm listening to the program. This is what happened." Those testimonies and how important it is for the listeners to be praying specifically. And God is a God of specificity when it comes to prayer. With that, I'll ask you, how important is all of that? And with prayer, how specifically can the KLYT listener be praying for the ministry of Calvary Chapel, Lebanon, and for the radio ministry of Study the Word?
Yeah, so the prayer that I pray is something like this, and I would love if people would pray this prayer. It comes out of 1 Corinthians, where my idea is that, God, I pray that people would stumble across this station, unbelievers would stumble across this station, and the secret thoughts of their heart would be laid bare, and they would fall down on their faces declaring, "God is truly in this place. God is truly in this message today, that he would coordinate not just our program, but all the programs on KLYT in a manner that the person listening would say, this didn't happen by accident. This message is for me today. We've all heard those stories. That's a very regular occurrence. But to do for more of that to happen, that's what will really build and enlarge and strengthen the kingdom of God. Those kinds of special connections like that.
And Tom, how important and encouraging is it for you and the ministry on that end to hear from the listener? What does that do for you?
Yeah, well, you know, there's no one that's as surprised as I am that God uses me to be a pastor. I mean, maybe the only other people that would be more surprised than me would be my sixth or seventh grade school teachers, because they never would have thought I would ever be speaking anywhere about anything. So as far as hearing from people, you know, I guess it is encouraging. None of us do it for that reason. But I guess if someone has ever taught a Sunday school class, if you think about it, if they get a note from a student, it goes a long way to make them feel that they're doing something of value. And although we don't need those things, you know, just being honest, it does encourage people. So, you know, not just to me, but all of the teachers on the radio station, you know, when you hear something that's encouraging or that means something to you, yeah, just to drop a note, it would mean a lot to all of those people if people that are touched by a message would do that.
Well, if you just tuned in, we've been visiting with Tom. He's the Tom Keller's the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Lebanon, in Pennsylvania, and the teaching pastor that you'll hear on Study the Word weeknights at 8:30 starting August 1st. And then also Saturday afternoons, the weekend broadcast at 5 p.m. Tom, we so much appreciate the work that you're doing there, changing lives and sharing the gospel and sharing God's word. We often talk about issues on this radio program of things that are happening around New Mexico, laws that are being passed, so many of the dark things that are happening when it comes to crime and homelessness and fentanyl and all, you know, our proximity to the border, we see, really every state is maybe a border state now. When we get to the crux of it, the truth is the only real life change comes from Christ and sharing the gospel. And that starts at home. And then obviously, Calvary Chapel Lebanon and KLYT is taking it to the community. And that's where we, you know, as we see, we're living in strange days, but God can make a change. He's done it. And Tom's, you know, Tom, earlier you said how God reaches blockheads like you and me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I always think of Paul at those times. Not that I'm the educated man Paul was, but just as much off track when he found me and made it to where our elementary teachers would be very surprised if they saw what became of us.
Amen.
And it's a testimony there that clearly that's not something that we could do. It's real life change that only comes from him. But thanks so much for the investment in the New Mexico KLYT listener with your radio broadcast, and we'll look forward to hearing more.
Thank you. It's an honor and a pleasure. It really is.
All right. Thanks so much again for listening to ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect is a